Thanks for joining us at First Baptist of Woodlawn. Our mission at Woodlawn is to grow, serve, and reach others together. Our vision at Woodlawn is to impact our regional communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ through small groups, corporate worship and missions, and evangelism. Now, today's sermon.
If you would, this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. I gotta tell you, I forgot to mark Jonah in my Bible, and I'm looking for it. And here's the reason. It's a tricky little book. It'll hide in there on you. It's on page 1192, if any of you want to know. When I was in the seventh grade, I got invited to a birthday party. Now, this was not any ordinary birthday party, but this was a birthday party of the most popular girl in school. That was quite an accomplishment for me, considering I was as wide as I was tall. Matter of fact, if I'd been 2 inches taller, I'd been perfectly round. But anyhow, April Wood invited me to her birthday party. And I remember being so excited because I was going to this party. I'd never been invited to anything of this upper echelon before in the middle school realm of social life. I felt like I had arrived. So I got all dappered up, put on my best looking outfit, got my hair just right, put on my big, thick, framed brown glasses. And off we went. And we pulled up to her house, and I noticed that when we pulled up that there was something that was just a little off. There were a few of the girls in my eighth grade class who were outside jumping on a trampoline, but didn't really see anybody else. When I got out, there was a look of horror on April's face. What is this kid doing at my house? That was on a Saturday afternoon, but the party was on Sunday. I never will forget the feeling I had in my gut. Even to this day, over 20 years later, I still cringe inside just a little bit thinking about the horror of that day. Funny thing is, April and I became friends, and we went all the way through high school together. Neither one of us ever mentioned that day. For the next 5 years, it was never talked about, like it didn't happen. But I know it did. I was there. Isn't it terrible to be in the wrong place at the wrong time? Isn't it terrible whenever you are expecting something and you realize that you messed up? I want you to understand something this morning. Some of us on our spiritual journeys feel like we've been sidetracked. Many of us feel like we have made a wrong turn somewhere in our Christian life. And the reality is we really don't know how to get back to where we were. Can I comfort you this morning with the book of Jonah? I want to talk about three things this morning that I believe can help us get back on track. The first thing I want to talk about is the examination of Jonah's disobedience. Then I want to look at the implementation of Jonah's disobedience. And the third point this morning will be the ramification of Jonah's disobedience. The very first point is an examination of Jonah's disobedience. You know, the funny thing about Jonah is, and we know this from the Scriptures, is that he was a believer. He was following God. He was called by God to a high office, that of prophet. In the Old Testament, there was no higher office. You could hear from God and then tell the people His message. That was an amazing thing. Listen to what the Bible says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We find that Jonah was a man of God who was hearing from God. He was getting direction from the Lord. He evidently had such a relationship with God that he could hear Him speak to him. He could hear Him give direction. Jonah was not some backslidden, no good, low down, no count kind of guy. As far as we can tell, Jonah was an upstanding man of God. And yet, Jonah still, in the midst of this, an esteemed prophet, disobeyed God. Isn't that an amazing thought? You know, sometimes we get this idea that in our head that, well, if I could just hear from the Lord in a more tangible way, or if I could just see God in a different manner, or if God would just write it in the sky what I was supposed to do, then, man, that would make our Christian existence, our Christian life much easier, and I would for sure follow Him better than I am now. Can I just tell you two words? Not so. Not so. God gave Jonah a direct command, and he willfully, of his own volition, disobeyed. An amazing thought. The point I want to draw from this is simply this, that your calling never determines your faithfulness. Let me repeat that. You might want to write that down. Your calling never determines your faithfulness. Some think that because of your status, that it becomes easier to be faithful. Not true. Well, you're a pastor. You study the Bible. You pray. You hear from God. Well, that's true. But that's not what determines my faithfulness to God. The faithfulness to God that you need to find in your own life doesn't start with your calling. It starts with you and your own will determining in your heart, I'm going to follow God and do what He says. You know, the Bible says that Jonah was a prophet. And by the way, any of you who have young children, I cannot get the VeggieTales song out of my head. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's hard not to just sing it while I'm up here. But the reality is this. The Bible says that Jonah was a prophet hearing from God. He had an office. He had a calling on his life. And there are many believers, maybe under the sound of my voice this morning, who here's what they believe. Well, the man of God, whether he's a prophet, a priest, whether he's a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist, has a specific call on his life that causes him to be more faithful to God. You know what I believe the Bible teaches? I believe the Bible teaches that if you're here this morning, you're a believer in Jesus. You've been called by God. You know, the Bible teaches this, and I believe this to be true, that man can't come to the God of heaven on his own. That there has to be a call of the Holy Spirit upon your life, drawing you to Himself before you can even decide to come to God. So if you're saved this morning, here's what I know. I know that God has in some way called you. And if He's changed your heart and made you a new believer in Jesus, not only has He called you just to be a Christian, but He has put a specific call on that life, and those calls are things like this. You look throughout the New Testament. The call of a believer is to be holy. The call of a believer is to be separate. The call of a believer is to be part of a local body, a local congregation. The call of a believer is to serve. The call of a believer is to do all sorts of things. So brothers and sisters, you need to understand that you are called this morning of God not only to salvation but to a particular lifestyle. But just because you are called, it doesn't mean that produces faithfulness in you. See, there's a lot of people who kind of think, well, I've gotten saved. I've been changed by the power of Jesus' blood. And now I'm just going to sit here and wait on God. God will change me. God will make me new. God will do things in my heart. And yes, that's true. But at the same time, we see here where there was a prophet who had a major call on his life, and of his own volition, of his own will, he became disobedient and unfaithful to God. Ultimately, that rests on us. Ultimately, the call to be faithful rests upon you and your own desires and your own works and your own life. You see that? Your faithfulness never determines your calling. Jonah was a Christian. He was an esteemed prophet as we examine his disobedience. But not only that, but there was a direct command from the Lord. You know, this was not a gray area in Jonah's life. God tells him, arise, go to Nineveh, this city that's full of pagans that don't do as I command, cry against their wickedness, tell them to repent and come to me. That's a pretty clear statement. He tells him exactly what to do. It was not a gray area in his life. I remember when I was in seminary, one of my good friends, Shane Bridenball, who lives in Orlando, Florida now, whenever you're in seminary, it's kind of like being in college, except worse, because you have no money. I mean, college kids can say this, hey, mom, dad, hey, listen, I need a little money. When you're in seminary, you're a grown man, and you don't want to call home and say, mom, dad, I have no money. You literally have nothing. So we're sitting in Shane's room one day, and he just plugs a TV in that he bought, and lo and behold, there's cable. Like 170 channels. 14 ESPNs. So Shane says, I'm not paying for this. I don't have the money. So he calls the cable company, and here's what he says. I moved into a dorm room. There's all kinds of cable channels on my TV, and I don't want it. I don't have the money. I'm not going to pay it. Here's what she says, the lady on the other end. Mr. Bridenball, I have no record of any cable being hooked up in your room. He said, I don't care if you've got a record or not. I don't want to get a bill. She said, Mr. Bridenball, I don't have any record of there being cable in your room. He said, I don't care. I'm eating ramen noodles and rice once a day. I can't even watch 14 baseball games at one time. She said, I guess what I'm saying, Mr. Bridenball, is enjoy your free cable. Well, when that happened, guess what? Every single person in the dorm watched every base. We watched TV in his room all the time. We all went and watched TV. Now listen, that was a little bit of a gray area, wasn't it? Wasn't so. What are you doing in a situation like that? What are you doing in a situation? What's the more? What's the right thing to do? Wasn't that way in Jonah's case? In Jonah's situation, God said this. He said, go to Nineveh. Tell them they're wicked. Tell them to repent. Tell them to come to me. There was no gray area. Can I be honest with you? Most of us as Christians live like there's a lot of gray area in our life. And the reality is most of the time, the call of God in our life and the directives He's given us are very plain in black and white. Listen to this. God's given us all direct commands from the Scriptures. Here's a few. God's commanded us all as believers to pray for each other, for the church, for the world, for ourselves, to find some time during the day, get alone, get with God, seek His face, and pray. He's called us all to be engulfed in the Word of God, to read the Word, to study the Word, to put the Word in your mind so that you can know Him, so that you can be one of His and Him your God, and so that you can understand whom you're serving. By the way, it's easier today than ever to do that. I've got a neat little app on my phone I use all the time. It's called YouVersion. Let me tell you how lazy it is. You can go to the Bible verse you want to read, hit the app, and it'll read it to you. But get the Word of God in you. That's what God calls us to do. More than that, He's called us to serve the body. That's very clear. The reality is of this statement that God has called us very black and white to serve the body of Christ is so clear, in fact, that if you are not serving your local church body in some capacity, I believe you're in sin. You're not reading the Word of God. If you're not praying, I believe that you're being disobedient to God and you're in sin. Wow. More than that, He's called us to be on mission. We've got 12 this evening going to Guatemala that we're going to meet, but it doesn't have to be international mission. It just means that you need to live a lifestyle where you are constantly sharing the gospel of Christ with others. I think sometimes we believe that those things that God has called us to do, that He's put in black and white, are really in the gray area. They're really optional. But the reality of it is if we don't do those things, we are being disobedient to the Father, and that's called sin. So when you don't read your Bible, when you don't pray, you're in rebellion to God. When you don't serve your local body, when you don't be on mission, you're in rebellion to the Lord. And ultimately, here's what happens. Many times people believe that those are gray areas. They don't do them. Those little few basic things. And then they end up on a ship somewhere in the middle of a storm in their life and they have no idea how they got there. Maybe that's you this morning. Not only is there an examination of Jonah's disobedience, but let's look at the implementation of Jonah's disobedience. How did he disobey? How did he do it? Well, the first thing is this. In Jonah's disobedience, he partially obeyed. He partially obeyed. Listen to what it says. Verse 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it." And in verse 3, it says, "But Jonah rose up and flew to Tarshish." He got part of it right. He rose up. But he just didn't do all of it right. He went to the wrong place. Can I just make this statement, and this is old, it's not unique with me or original. You've heard it, it's commonplace, but it's true. Partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. You know, there are many things that God has called us to do and we just do half-heartedly. There are many things that God has put in our life and we just maybe do some of them. But I want you to know, if you don't do what God has asked of you to do, partial obedience is complete disobedience. It really is. But more than that, other than just partially obeying, there's another aspect to his disobedience. He tried to escape. He tried to flee the presence of God. Now let me just get country on you, okay? How dumb. Y'all hear that country in that? I'm holding that U-M out. How dumb is that thought. I'm going to escape the presence of God. I'm going to get away from God. But here's what Jonah thought. He thought, instead of going to Nineveh, I'm going to rise up, I'm going to buy my fare, I'm going to get on a ship, I'm going to go the complete opposite direction of where God wants me to go. And I'm going to run away from the Lord. And I'm going to run away from what He has for me. And I'm going to run away from the clear directives that He's given me in my life. Some of you say, well, I've never run away from God. I'm not dumb enough to think I can get away from the Lord. Well, can I just make this statement this morning? We often do this by doing exactly what Jonah did. We put things between ourselves and God. See, what Jonah was trying to do is he was trying to put distance between himself and what God had called him to do. I'm going to go the opposite direction. But how many times do we as believers put other things between ourselves and God, and we disobey Him in the same way? Maybe a number of things. The disobedience of Jonah was distance. But it could be a number of things. Family. Well, my family's more important than serving the Lord. Can I tell you something? Your family can be an idol. Wealth, work, hobbies, sports. Anything. There was a time in my life about 2 years ago when I got so excited about Farmall tractors that every waking moment of the day that I could get on the internet, I was looking at tractor parts. Now y'all think, how could you do that? That's true. I'm talking about, I would go and find the PDF plans of the tractors and look how they blew up the parts diagrams. I want to know where the springs went. I want to know where the C-clips went. I want to know where the little clamps were. I want to know how it all worked, how it all put together. And when I would find the little exploded diagram, I would get to that place and know where all those parts, and then I'd get online and see how much they all cost. And I've got to be honest with you, it really started to become an idol in my life. You guys know I still love tractors, but the reality is this, it became an idol to me. I was putting those things in my life before God. Let me ask you this question. What are you putting in your life before the Lord? I hope that as I asked that question, the Holy Spirit of God brought something to your mind. What is it in your life that you are putting between you and serving God in a full capacity? Think about that. Can I just tell you what would be awesome? If we had a church full of people who decided in their heart, you know what? I'm not going to let anything stand between me and my relationship with the Lord. And as they looked at their life and the Spirit of God started to bring things to their life that in their mind that had been put in place between their relationship with God, they just said, I'm going to take that out. Yeah, it's important to me, and yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to be like ripping off a Band-Aid, but here's what I know. If I don't remove this idol, if I don't remove this thing that's come between me and the Lord out of my life, I know that I'm never going to be right with Him. I know I'm never going to fully serve Him. I know I'm never going to experience the full joy of knowing Christ. Let's just take it and let's remove it. Yeah, it hurts, and yeah, there might be some awkwardness, and there might be some explaining you have to do to people around you, but you know what? That's the testimony that you need to be giving anyhow. That God's redeemed me, and I'm not willing to let anything stand between me and my relationship with Jesus. Jonah tried to put distance between him and the Lord, and that's how he implemented his disobedience. Let's look at the last point, the ramification of Jonah's disobedience. What did it cause him? Two things. He put his life in danger, and he put others' life in danger. You know what I find about this lesson in Jonah, the story of Jonah? Do you notice it says that in verse 4, "And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up." Wow. Jonah gets on a boat, and God starts to rock the boat a little bit. Has God ever rocked your boat? Might be rocking it right now. It says, "And the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was with them in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship and lain down, and he had fallen asleep. And so the captain approached him and said, 'How is it that you are sleeping? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps he'll be concerned about us so that we will not perish.' Then they cast lots to find out who is God angry with? And the lot fell to Jonah." You know, Jonah put his own life in danger. Do you notice that it wasn't just his spiritual life either? But it was his physical life. Some people say, "Well, I believe God's a loving God, and I believe He forgives, and I believe that He's like a big old fuzzy Easter bunny." Yes, I believe that's true. I believe God does love. I believe He is forgiving. But the reality is this, is God chastens those whom He loves. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it says it in Proverbs, it says it again in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that those who are sons of God, when they're away from Him, He will chasten in order to bring them back. Chastening is a sign of sonship. Look at this. In this text, it says these things. God calls the storm. God calls the lots to fall on Jonah. God caused him to be thrown overboard, and God caused him to be swallowed up by a big fish. You don't think that fish was just sitting under that boat hoping somebody would get thrown overboard, do you? The providence of God, He had him there ready waiting. Some of us may be asking this morning, "Well, I don't understand why my life is not going the way that it ought to be going. I want to be here, but I'm really here. I've made a wrong turn somewhere, and I don't understand why life is so tumultuous." Could it be that maybe we've been living in the gray areas? Could it be maybe that there is disobedience in your life? Could it be that maybe we have not followed God the way that we ought to follow Him? And what you're experiencing now is a chastening of God. I believe that's a distinct possibility for some. But do you realize that when you disobey, you really don't only put yourself in danger, but you put others in danger? There were other men who were on the boat. The consequences of running from God stretch far beyond yourself. And you're lying to yourself if you believe that by not obeying God, you only hurt yourself. A few years ago, I ran into a good pastor friend of mine who's quite a bit older than I am. His name is Bob Ogeron. Brother Bob is the pastor of Park Avenue Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. In the area in which he lives, there is a very diverse group of international people. Some of the people whom he's been reaching in his church are Rwandans, people from Rwanda, Africa. How many of you remember a few years ago, 2004, there was a movie come out called Hotel Rwanda? It was about the Hutus and the Tutsis, two different groups of indigenous people who lived in the country of Rwanda, and they were massacring each other. Brother Bob had a group of Rwandans who were Tutsis. And one of them told the following story. It was this. "We were trying to escape the Hutus. They were hot on our trail. They were going to murder us. A whole group of Tutsis. and said as they were coming up to a place in the road that divided, a Y in the road, he said the group wanted to go left. He said, but the Spirit of God said, and just spoke to my heart and said, that's not the right way. You need to go right. And he chose to go the opposite way of the rest of the group, knowing he would be by himself, because here's what he said, God spoke to my heart. How could I not do what God told me? This was around the middle of the day. They both traveled several more hours. In the night, the Lord woke him up, said, you need to go back. And when he did, here's what he found. Everyone in the group with he was traveling with that went left instead of right was massacred by the Hutus who were waiting on him. Had he not been obedient to the call of God on his life, had he not been obedient to the clear giving of direction in his life, not only him, but his family would have been massacred. Your disobedience to the leading and prompting of the Spirit, your disobedience to doing what God says is right, not only affects you, but it affects others. And it will affect others. If you're a father and you're not living the way that you ought to and leading your home the way you ought to, it affects your children. If you're a businessman and you are not being what God said you ought to be, it affects the name of Christ and it affects other people. If you're a teacher and an educator and you're not being a Christian in the midst of your work, it affects many people. Your disobedience not only affects you, but it affects other people's. And can I just be honest? That's a lie that I think most people try to believe. I don't have to do this. I don't have to read. I don't have to study. I don't have to serve. It'll be okay if we miss. It doesn't really affect anybody but me. Lie, lie, lie. Can I just for a moment speak on something? Do you know what one of the trends nationally is among churchgoers? We attend church less than we used to. People who are considered to be regular church attenders now only come 2 to 3 times a month. Whereas 20 years ago, if you were a regular church attender, you were considered to go 4 times a month. Our churches are declining in number, not because there's less people going, but because less people come less frequently. Can I just be honest with you? I believe there's a lie that's being sold to people that says that church attendance is not important. I don't really have to be there. Nobody will miss me. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come and worship the living God. And it really does affect the body. Put his life in danger. Put others in danger. That was the ramifications of the sin.
Thanks for joining us today. If you would like to know more about our relationship with Jesus or more about our church at Woodlawn, please contact us by email at info@fbcwoodlawn.org. Please join us again next week for another sermon from First Baptist of Woodlawn. Cleansed by your mercy.